Somebody asked about a tour. He says, okay. Voice the bot. Right.
Yeah.
Never.
I'm kidding.
Never. never. Really quick, we Fabolous will not be talked about.
Yeah, Fabolous now has an official band. Did you see that video today?
Yes, I did see it.
It's so disturbing.
Yes. Yeah. See, I didn't understand what was happening because it was so low resolution.
It's grainy.
Yeah, I just thought he was yelling at people, and I was like, oh, okay, because he's like, he's banned, and then he sent me the video because I heard the rumors about like assault, physical assault on his girlfriend or wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And I saw the video. I'm like, I mean, it's. He's a dick, but it's an assault. And then you're like, he has a knife in his hand. I'm like, oh.
He's charging at people with a knife in his hand. He's,
what the fuck happened?
I don't know.
Enough to punch a woman in the face five times.
Well, and her dad is there. That big dude's her dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, is he her dad and her brother? Or just.
I'm thinking. What I'm.
Wait, is he. That could be.
Oh, you think so?
That's why. I bet he hit her and the dad and the brother showed up.
Oh, probably.
And that's probably why he came out with the knife. But nonetheless, that dad looked like if he got a hold of him, he would have fucking smashed his ass.
Of course,
like,
yeah.
That would have been. But Fab, I'm disappointed because I've always really liked Fab.
Mm-hmm.
I was a really great lyricist. But
we have to
ban him.
Yeah.
You don't want to get banned from this podcast.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it's so
this obviously isn't like the first time he's put his hands on her.
Right.
Because there's no way you go from
nothing.
Tenderly loving a woman to punching her in the face five times. I think there's like.
Yeah.
There's definitely levels to.
Well, and then showing the remorse to the level to where you wield a knife at her family.
Yeah.
Like that's like.
So I think this was something that came to a head and it was like.
It makes me, like, I mean, I don't want to be the guy who's, like, sympathetic to the assaulter, but
right.
It always makes me wonder, like, what happened to him? Because he seemed like a pretty, like...
That's what's surprising about it. He always seemed like an even-keeled chill.
Yeah.
And he made all sorts of girl songs.
Yeah.
And remember, because...
Rappers have tried to beef with him, and he was just,
just never did anything.
They
tried to make Lloyd Banks him.
Yeah.
That's why Lloyd Banks had all that. And it was, he just seemed like the most go-with-the-flow, other than Ray J, nobody had beef with him. And it was comical.
Yeah, that Ray J beef. I mean, Charlamagne has a career because of that Ray J
beef,
which is beautiful. We need to get some beef going.
No beef.
But then what if our podcast just, like, blows the fuck up?
It would be... Look, I tell you this all the time.
Uh-huh.
That would be a micro decision. We would succeed in the short term, but in the long term, our lack of ethics would get us.
But look at Charlamagne. He's doing all right. Look at the Breakfast Club.
Charlamagne's a sociopath.
Thank you.
Dude, I fucking love that guy, though. I have his book and everything.
I don't know. He's actually not a sociopath. He's a hell of an entertainer. He's just very blunt.
But I hate the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Why is that?
He's a super smart dude.
Yeah.
No, I enjoy Charlamagne interviews. I'm not trying to beef with Charlamagne.
Yeah. No, but the women thing, you're completely right. Because I saw.
I don't know much about him outside of just seeing how he interviews.
That's how he's on the interviews.
Yeah.
But the one thing is, a lot of people don't watch the interviews he does with women because a lot of his followers are men who don't really give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hip hop. Loving basketball bitches are talking about.
Yeah.
No one cares what they're talking about. And you know what, ladies? I don't care either. I really don't. But I do care about the level of respect that you get when you're on that his radio.
Yeah, he made Lil Mama cry.
Yep. He made
remember that?
He
constantly make women cry. And I'm sorry, that's why I fucking love Deezus and Meryl for like really coming at DJ Envy the way it is.
Dude, that was...
Yeah.
I lived for it because you can't be on a show where all you do is dog out people, talk shit, and then when you get confronted for it, you get upset and have to leave. Even Charlamagne was clowning your ass. You look ridiculous. You went on a show with your wife to talk about your infidelity and got mad because...
Well, and got mad.
Joke about it?
Not only that, two comedians.
They're
fucking comedians.
Yeah.
Like they make every statement for the punchline.
Yeah.
Not for anything other than being funny.
But people take comedy too serious. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I even appreciate that even Charlamagne had to admit. He said, "Yeah, I mean, we do. We go at women on here, and it's not right. And I do a lot of apologizing. So I was gonna sit and eat whatever they were gonna give us. And Envy just." It's your show. You left and then tweeted, can't keep that same energy when I'm in the room. My dude, we talking to your chair. Where are you? The energy's here. You left. The energy was too much for you. Like, come on.
Yeah, it was that whole. I couldn't watch it. It was so weird. I like.
It's a love hate with Charlamagne.
I think they. I do watch a lot of the Breakfast Club interviews. I like Ebro and Rosenberg
more
better.
They hate each other.
Yeah, it's a weird beef.
Yeah,
I've seen Rosenberg tweet out it's not that serious.
Okay.
I mean they
like Charlamagne and Andrew Schultz, I don't know if you know who he is. He's a comedian in New York. They always call him like Rosie Bitch.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They go ham. They go really hard.
On Ebro?
On Rosenberg.
Do they?
Yeah.
But they
Rosenberg does say some like suspect shit.
Rosenberg.
It's you say it's out there and you can't expect.
Yeah, that is true.
Rosenberg just loves rap to this point that it, like, he can't keep it in.
Yeah.
And he just says some shit. I like Rosenberg, though.
Yeah, I like him,
too. I think
the
Nicki Minaj shit he did was whack. And he apologized for it. Like, he totally...
The Starship
thing? Yeah, he was totally like, I fucked up. And the story behind it's really funny, though, is, like, right before... He went on the stage and said that.
Uh-huh.
Ebro had like mentioned Starships to him. Mm-hmm. So it was in his head.
And
Ebro even is like admitted that and been like, had I not said that, he might not have been thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Nicki, he shouldn't have. I mean, Nicki can spit. I mean, she can rap.
She can spit. I mean, that song was whack. That album was whack as fuck.
I never heard it. So I can't
Pink
say.
Print, I actually went back to it because like Cardi B, her new album's out. Yeah. So I'm like going back. I'm like listening to like Gangsta Boo, Trina.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like. Dude, she had a song with Tory Lanez.
Trina is like everything. Like,
Trina's good. Trina's really good.
My podcast, Comfortably Excluded, you know I love the Diamond Princess. Quite
she's awesome.
But yeah, I feel where you're coming from. Since Cardi's album is dropping, I'm trying to catch all those samples. And still going back to, you know, those female artists. But yeah, all Nicki's like older stuff for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my
she can
God.
Rap.
Well, I thought Pink Print was like a really good album too. Yeah. Well, not really good, but it was good.
She I've been going back. I listened to like DaBrat and MC Light.
Yeah,
those are the female rappers.
Yeah, yeah, but then I always come back to Rhapsody and I'm like, why can't?
Did you? So
why can't we just listen to this?
Trina was on Run the Jewels 3, right?
No, Gangsta Boo.
No, Gangsta was on Run the Jewels 2.
Oh, was
Trina's
on
Run the Jewels 3?
What song?
I'm the shit. No, that's Gangsta Boo. I'll pull it up.
Lick
before
on
we
my
go.
Click all, the lick yeah. on my dick all day. But lick on my clit all
LP
day.
LP talks about how when Trina came to the studio to record it, he's pretty sure she thought he was the engineer.
Excuse me, sir. We need a refill. Yeah.
This fucking LP. This like 25 year vet of Brooklyn rap, but he does. I think he said he's like, in my defense, I look like the engineer.
He totally does.
Yeah, he looks like it. But
they do not look, Run the Jewels, and we'll go. We'll actually start the episode. But Run the Jewels, they do not look like the music they make.
They do not.
They're two fat dudes who make the best gym music I've ever heard. Yeah,
they're fucking unreal.
Yeah, yeah.
LP is just this wildly musically talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike can and LP learned how to rap. And then Mike's just this amazing rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
Just this fucking whole and other his career.
Level. Oh, can we actually talk about that too? Since we're talking about current events and rap.
Sure.
The NRA thing.
Why did he?
Yeah. Well, because he's said
very pro gun.
He's been pro gun,
which is fine.
Yeah,
which is fine.
He said he's in the NRA multiple times in other interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the opening lines of Run the Jewels 3 is one time for the freedom of speech, two times for the right to hold heat. Like he continually, and that's fine. Be pro guy. I don't fucking, you know, I don't die on any political hill.
You know, black gun ownership. Mm-hmm. It needs to be a thing.
Yeah.
It is a thing, obviously.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There needs to be more awareness on it. But it's like, oh, you go to the NRA.
After.
I'm not black or anything, but I didn't know that the NRA cared shit about black people.
Yeah.
To interview with them. I am black, by the way. That's why I think it's fucking hilarious.
I mean,
that's what the problem was.
We feel you.
Yeah.
We do exist. Black gun owners do exist. But why you go to the NRA?
Yeah.
And why you let them ask you a question about children and guns?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I knew we could he could still keep his black card because when there was because one specific quote when he was talking about his kids walking out, he's like, "I'm gonna kick him out of my house." I was like, "You're still a black dude. You're still a black parent right there." My mom did that to me all the fucking time. I'm like, "Yep, you're good. You're chilling."
You wanna disagree? Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah. It wasn't Ben Carson bad, but yeah, no, it was disappointing, especially if you know the history of the NRA. If you know
what they did to the Black Panthers,
they pretty much dismantled the whole movement. And
it like these California laws?
Mm-hmm. It was Ronald Reagan, like a bunch. And for how much shit he talks
about. Wait, Ronald Reagan did some things that were mean to black people?
Really? It's crazy.
No kidding. Oh, that's right, crack.
Yeah, I mean, but even when he was the governor of California, it's like really disappointing to see him do that. I'm happy he apologized, but I don't know.
He apologized. Everybody around him handled it really well.
Yeah,
like LP's handling of it was flawless.
Yeah.
It was just simple.
Yeah.
I do not agree with what Mike said. Uh-huh. I respect it. Be sure to catch us on the summer festival.
Yeah. Yeah, be sure. Peace. RTJ4.
It was simple, just to the point. We're not gonna dig deep on this. I mean, because he said what he said. What he said was not wrong. Who he went to say it was wrong because they knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Well, and they were gonna.
And they aired it at the moment that those children started walking out of school.
That would have been like Charlton Heston going on NWA TV and trying to get. they'd have been like. The NRA would have been like, "What the fuck are you doing on NWA TV, Charlton Heston?"
It's fucking stupid. All right. Now let's actually start this episode. Do you want to intro it?
Welcome to the As the Rhyme Goes On podcast. My name is John Davis.
My name is Nalawi Mengus, and we have a guest with us. She has a podcast called Comfortably Excluded. Recent transplant to Denver from Virginia, Monty Hill. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. So the album we're going to talk about, we're doing another retro review. This was kind of a random one.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to figure out what to do. We were like talking about doing like some real underground shit like the Minstrel Show or
MERS
or Elizai or shit like that. But then I saw an Instagram post and I remember this album cover and it's been 15 years.
Was this the anniversary this month of this record?
Yeah, it was this week. Yeah.
Was it? Okay,
it was this
cool.
Past week. Yeah. So I was like, we got to do the Diplomatic Immunity.
Diplomats.
And when I was looking up lyrics for this record, because I had a few like questions and shit, Diplomatic Immunity, it kept on pulling up that Drake song.
And yeah, I had that
so
problem too.
Fucking angry.
Yeah, I was getting annoyed as shit with that.
Yeah. Oh, all right. My notes pulled up. Perfect.
Oh, good. Yeah. Now we can talk on the podcast.
Yeah, now I actually have shit to say.
But yeah, I was, because I pulled up the Genius. I was trying to pull up the Genius on it, and it was, and I just clicked on it, and I'm like, the fucking Drake lyrics.
Yeah.
I was like, get the fuck out of here, Drizzy.
Yeah.
I like Drake. I actually like Drake's song, Diplomatic Immunity, but this shit. Have you looked at the cover of the album, Diplomatic Immunity?
Amazing. The cover,
it's
fucking,
so fucking funny.
It's amazing, because you got Joel Santana dressed as a pilot.
Yeah.
You got Jim Jones. Oh, no, Jim Jones is dressed as a pilot. Joel Santana is dressed like a sailor. Cameron is being Cameron. And then who's that in the back?
That's Hell Rel or Freaky. It's Freaky Zeke.
He was locked up during the time.
Yeah.
We keep getting the amazing phone.
All the phone calls and shit.
That was a big thing back. Because remember, back in the day, usually somebody in your crew was locked up. The first G-Unit album, Tony Ayo was in jail.
Yep.
There was always somebody.
MC Murder gets a shout out here.
You
feature your boy on the album, from lockup.
Mm-hmm.
There was this guy named X Rated who had a whole album from jail.
Yeah.
He's in jail.
Shine do his second album, All in Jail too.
Not the whole thing.
Okay,
part of it, but yeah.
He did the Confessions Part 2 remix in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm like, I don't know. That shit's way too hard for an Usher. Because I was like 8 at the time. I was like, God damn, this guy is rapping about some real shit.
Shine's first album, Shine, is so goddamn good.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it is so goddamn good.
Okay, can I'm gonna make a bold statement.
About
this album.
About Diplomatic Immunity.
About Diplomatic Immunity.
I would like
best
to hear.
No.
It's not.
But I think this is the most deadass album I've ever heard. Like, I think it embodies that word, deadass.
Maybe because they say it like a million times in the first damn song. Deadass.
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 They're.
Deadass.
they are so like when they came out, like they had this weird don't give a fuck swag, but not don't give a fuck like we're gonna shoot everybody because we're crazy, even though they say they'll do that, and they probably would have. They just didn't care about anybody else.
Yeah.
They walked in like, look how fly we are.
Yep. And their oversized jerseys and their oversized jeans and their Tims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cameron, everybody always points to the Dilated People's video with Kanye wearing the pink polo as part of that pink fad.
Yeah.
It was Cam.
Yeah.
It was Cameron.
And Cameron was way more pink than Kanye ever will be.
He'd be cool for gangsters to wear pink.
Yeah. And then the Boondocks spoofed it with Gangstalicious.
Did they? It caught on. I mean, because the Hey Ma, so like Cameron, it was crazy because they signed. And one thing you forget, they were on Rockefeller with this.
Yep.
And Cam to Rockefeller was really, and I'm not trying to say anything that may not be true, but from what I've always understood, that was the divide between Dame and Jay.
Yep, Cameron.
That ended up being
why
Rockefeller
fell apart. Yeah.
And that's crazy because Cam signed to Rockefeller. He put out the, do you remember the Come Home With Me record he had? It had Hey Ma.
Yep.
And
oh, boy.
Yeah.
It was from that he even really brought together The Diplomat.
Yeah.
That album.
It was from that album. And that album got kind of lost because it came out like in between the Eminem show and Nellyville that summer. And both those albums were like five singles each.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, but
and
then.
That one was only really two singles when you think about it.
Yeah.
It had that terrible, what is it? Is it Ambitions as a Writer?
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
I fucking hated it. I went back to listen to it while listening to this. The You Don't Wanna Fuck. Because I love that original song.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I heard Cameron spit over. The problem with these dudes.
Okay.
The big problem. And there's a few moments here. Is that when they try to do like, whether it's like Tupac Worship or something like that, they're not technical enough rappers to pull it off.
In that right,
which is fine and it's endearing in a way, but it's also like I'd rather listen to those dudes.
It's why they, to me, that's like part of the brand though. They're like, you're not flowing wrong. They're like, yeah, I am. They're like, you're flowing. You're not doing it right. No, I am. And it's just like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Confidence. It's the confidence that they are.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was. They still do it.
May not be the best, but
fuck it.
But yeah, I am.
Yeah. When, now. Like, you can't tell me that my flow right now is not vicious. I'm sorry. Hell, real from prison. I understand we loved him and we wanted him to be in the studio, but a lot of that shit they gas each other. I loved how like you heard them gassing each other up so much, and now like yeah, that's my boy, that's my pride. It's like you should be telling your boy to
lay low.
Fucking dips. Well, and they like later on, like the whole like rock and roll clothing style that rappers took on in like 2006. That was Juelz.
Yeah,
like Wayne. People kind of Wayne and Juelz were really close. And that album never came out.
Yeah.
They had that Can't Feel My Face record that never came out.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, but they were the ones wearing the skulls and the real ripped jeans, the chains.
Yeah.
They were the ones fucking doing that. Jim Jones. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when Cam, Juelz, and Jim started kind of beefing with Cam.
Yep.
But
God, that fucking Mic Check record on Juelz's first album. Mic Check, 1-2-1-2. Yeah, that shit.
You know what?
Oh my God. That shit was, that was amazing.
They're hustlers.
Yeah.
They're straight up hustlers. Mm. They do it. I mean, they hustle. Because, I mean, Cam got on Rockefeller and this came out and then Juelz solo came out and it was just pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
Just record.
Yep.
Mixtape.
They weren't even on Rockefeller long.
Yeah.
No.
Like, before they were like, you know what? We're bigger than this.
Yeah.
The reason they felt that way, we're bigger than this. And they cut ties and they still, like you said, they still were putting out records.
Yeah.
They had Cat Williams signed to Diplomat Records. Do you remember
Williams,
that?
Yes. They fucking signed Cat Williams
signed
to. Yeah. I didn't really even know who he was.
Yeah.
It was fucking crazy.
Dipset.
And he did that in the middle of his stand-up special.
Pimp Chronicles?
Yeah. Dipset. Dipset.
Dude, I don't give a fuck because a lot of people here, like mostly white people, they always like talk shit about Cat Williams. Yeah. I'm like, Pimp Chronicles top five
stand-up
specials.
Absolutely. I love it.
Of all time.
I love it.
It's one of those you can still go back.
Yeah.
And it's still just.
It's fucking hilarious.
It is so, like that crunk era, like that fucking 2004, 2000, it is such an embodiment of that. And like some of those jokes are just genuinely brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He has that line about where he's talking about the Iraq War. And then he's like, what the Iraqi uniform look like? I'll wait. Sweat.
I'll wait. Sweatpants.
Yeah, we're not killing the soldiers. We're killing them. That shit is so fucking funny.
And it really made you think, like, damn, okay, that was funny, but real talk.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he wrote smart jokes.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I don't even know what the fucking insurgent is.
They keep talking about the insurgents.
Yeah. Insurgents.
I don't have no insurgent friends. Keep killing them motherfuckers. But yeah. So I mean, we got a lot of tracks. So I think we should start.
We'll go. Track one, Uncasa. Yep. Couple things. I don't think he probably showed up on other stuff.
Yeah.
This is all I remember. This guy.
Yeah, me too. Just this intro right here.
I don't remember him because they ended up with a lot of people in it.
I skipped the intro a lot back then. I just heard the intro.
Really?
Yeah.
That's tight. I like.
But what's really good? That's all I wrote.
I like it.
Really good.
It's, dude, he
and I
spits.
Think that's why I would always skip it. The every other, but what's really good.
It was. I used to like when people, and you didn't see it often, The Chronic did it with Snoop, when people would be like, the intro is going to be the new guy just rapping. Mm-hmm. No special anything. We're just going to put the new guy.
And Doggy Style, too, yeah.
Doggy Style. Lady of Rage kicks off Doggy Style.
Yep.
It's weird to me, though, and back then, because this is 2003, 9/11 is like fresh.
Yep.
At this time, and I was so confused why they're like Taliban, bitch.
Yeah, they have a lot of really questionable lyrics.
Yeah, like I didn't get like if they were just trying to say, hey, we're wild.
Yeah,
I didn't know, because there's a lot of, they have that song on here later where they do like kind of talk like emotionally about 9/11, like in a really positive light. But rappers used to always kind of latch on to things and change the meaning. So I mean, they're obviously not pro-Taliban.
Yeah.
I mean, they're obviously not that. I think with like diplomatic immunity, that's a very government, you know, United Nation-y thing. Yeah, so it was probably trying to tie that in.
Probably.
I didn't get it.
But what's really good, though?
It was really good. Uncasa was really good.
Yeah, no, he kills it on this record.
He kills it. He kills it. I wish I would have known what happened to him.
Yeah. Next one, Joel Santana, Interlude. We can skip that. And then the next song, Who I Am. I do really like this record.
I do like Who I Am.
I like this record a lot, but like my favorite thing is like, you know how they talk shit in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then
talks about crying.
Yeah, Joel Santana's like, y'all think niggas don't cry.
We talk about Aaliyah.
We do.
He's
like, that shit is so fucking, and the whole song is just about how he cries all the time.
Yeah, but he's got
it's Drake before Drake.
Yeah, but the thing, what Joel's has is this whole, I cry, test me. I am crying. Try me, motherfucker. Like, you know what? This is the first song on the album, and there's a lot of these where they have this weird sample of a girl's voice.
Yeah.
But it's not turned all the way up.
Yeah.
And it just loops
the
whole fucking song. And they do that. And I don't know if that... Were those all Heatmakers beats?
There's a few Just Blaze beats. This one's a Heatmaker beat, but very, very few of them were not Heatmakers.
Who I Am is hard to say.
Who I Am?
Because you want to say, who am I?
Yeah.
But Who I Am, every time I read it, my mind is like, no, that can't be right. Who am I?
It's fucking hilarious.
What do we got next? Ground Zero?
Yeah, Ground Zero. It's, what does he say? It's that 9/11 music right here, man.
Yes. Yeah.
That was pushing the whole 9/11.
But he's not the only one. You remember Patiently Waiting?
Oh, it was. Yeah, everybody was talking about it. Yeah. They're not. You had to. You had to.
Especially if you were from New York. This is also another question I'm going
to
ask. Because there have been people like Pro Era and shit like that. But when you look at New York rap, especially like the past 10, 12 years. Even G Unit, not really, because G Unit still had like people from the South, West Coast, and shit like that. Like, very few groups really embody New York City.
Right. Yeah. I think
like
G Unit.
ASAP doesn't really.
No.
I think G Unit did, because G Unit was a New York crew other than Young Buck.
And Game.
Yeah, but
Game was short lived.
Yeah, but
they still had Game.
You know,
Spider-Lock.
The Locks.
The Locks?
The Locks are a New York crew.
Yeah.
They have still to this day, I think, maintained that. Yep. That, like, when we heard him on the Static Selecta, it was like, that's a lock song.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that is just...
Yeah. Well, yeah, I always forget that because I always see Styles P on his own. But to me, it's like, this was, like, the last, like, big... And even the Locks are underground as shit.
Yeah.
They're grimy as fuck. Pro era. Like, Joey is big, but, you know, Nick Caution, all those other people.
People still
Yes, yeah. People still don't know who they are. Whereas, like, I'm saying, like, big mainstream just wearing Tim's. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Dipset was the last, like, yeah. And they were, I mean, they were, this was also back then where when you got put on, your crew had to come.
Yeah.
Nelly with the St. Lunatics, Eminem with D12, 50 with G-Unit, and Camp with the Diplomats on. But Cam did something a little bit different to where this record, is it's showcasing Juelz, mm-hmm. clearly. Yep. It was clearly a push to put him mm-hmm. in the front. But Cam made it to where Dipset could exist without him having to be the front man all the time.
Yep.
Like, we all learned Jim Jones. We all learned.
Yeah.
I know him, but how many people do you know can... And I hate saying this because I love him so much, can name you D12 members.
No.
Yeah. How many people can name you St. Lunatics members?
Nope.
But these guys, everybody can name every fucking... Yeah. You can name everybody.
Well, also it helps that there's only four or five
right.
members. You know
but
I mean?
They ended up with like Jay Mills and didn't they end up with like...
But that happens all the time. Yeah, yeah.
They were definitely one of those groups where it wasn't a front man and entourage.
Yeah.
Everybody was a key player. Whether you... like this member or that member, you knew who they were. Like you said, you can name everyone that was in Dipset.
Yeah.
Everyone had like albums and things when, you know, they came out. A lot of people, it's crazy because like, I know my younger brothers and things like that didn't even realize that Juelz Santana was even connected to Cam'ron or Dipset. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he did set them up to where they had their own identities. They had their own things going on. And to the point that you saw their personalities. Yeah, the St. Lunatics, I can only name one.
Murphy Lee
was the shit, though.
And Murphy Lee was the shit. And it was also the guy with the opera, the Phantom of the Opera mask. Yeah. I didn't know his
Jason
name.
Jason Mask.
Is that what his name
I
was?
I think it was a cut was Jason a Mask. Was it? Might have been.
Oh, I thought that was his name.
Oh, you had Ollie Vegas because he had that song Bougetto. I don't know if you guys remember that song.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you guys remember.
See, I was so
bougie, baby.
I was so fucking late to the Nelly wave.
Well, you were young.
I was big into the Nelly.
You were young.
Yeah, I was stupid young. But, like, I knew, like,
but I was big into Nelly and the St. Lunatics, but I still couldn't name them or really pick them out the way Dipset, you know, the Diplomats were.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam, and I think 50, I don't know, 50 probably learned it from Cam, but it was like one of those, get the group record out, but then get the solo records out.
Immediately.
Get these guys, Banks, because everybody knows Banks, everybody knows Buck, everybody knows Yayo.
Yeah.
And because it was like, I mean, you got to share that spotlight. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because I don't
that's
know.
How you're going to make more money. You're going to make longevity. You're actually going to make your mark here. Like, 15 years that fucking album has been out. And it's crazy because when I even brought that up to people, it's like, oh, yeah. And they're thinking about their favorite songs on the album. And they start thinking about the different members. And it's like, you can't do that with St. Lunatic.
No. One thing about D12 that happened, though, is that those guys almost wanted to stay underground.
Because they
kept pushing solo underground shit.
Yeah.
Because I think they didn't like the major label.
Yeah, bullshit.
And so they, I mean, all of them
put out.
It was only
that group stuff that really was hitting.
Yeah, Proof put out all kinds of shit on the underground.
I mean, that was the problem with Slaughterhouse with their first record.
Yeah.
Or their first, like, big mainstream record. Is that, like, a lot of their fans were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They really, really tried to do, like, more radio hits and shit like that.
And it's, and there's a lot of, that record's interesting to revisit because there's a lot of gun talk.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of like lyrical songs on there.
Uh-huh.
So it was always people kind of had weird. We should revisit that one.
We should.
We should.
Yeah.
Slaughterhouse. Ground Zero though. I like the guitars quite a bit. I did want to say that.
I didn't like it at first because the way they make their beats is very, very simple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it took a while to grow on me. Like,
it's like
re-listening.
Building blocks.
Yeah. It's just like we're taking this one bar.
we're gonna build a little bit on there.
Yeah.
We're gonna put a little bit.
Yeah. but it's fun. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's
and Cam, just one last thing on there. Cam's verse is hard as fuck.
Yeah.
On that song. Cam's verse is hard as shit. Mm-hmm. the next song.
Oh, Real Niggas. Interlude.
You.
Well, we got the interlude.
Real Niggas. Interlude. Do we want to talk about the interlude?
Yeah. Well, I said.
What
Marv,
is the interlude? I skipped it. I think I skipped that.
You skipped it. Duh. Duh, you skipped it.
I listened
to it. That weird club set up. Wait, who was it? Because. I'm sorry.
I don't even
ahead.
Know who was talking. I just said it was Marvin's Room in 2003. All right. Now, the real song.
Okay.
Now, for real niggas.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you fuck with a real nigga?
Like, it was just.
Yeah, no money. This song I thought had the most hip hop beat.
Yeah.
Like the most just directly.
This is the one with the strings, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
they talk about anthrax. That's back to what it was like.
People was getting anthrax in the mail and shit. You had to confront a lot of stuff that was going on in America.
You did. It actually encapsulates what it was like waking up day to day. Yeah. Bush invading Iraq. Fucking Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knowing what was going on. Mm-hmm. We're going after Saddam for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
And, but it was... I like when he says he's going to take crack to NASDAQ. That was a real woke verse.
I completely missed that. That's so fucking funny.
That song's as woke as Camel Get.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's
well, yeah, there's a lot of songs. Yeah, yeah, there's one song.
They do this thing on this album, though, where they don't put two songs back-to-back that are similar.
No.
Like, whether it be subject matter or the beat, they did try to...
diversify. I mean, it helps with 27
fucking 27
songs.
Damn songs, and I just stopped at a certain point. I think I've had enough time.
Worth it when you get to the third to last song.
Yeah, yeah, that song is incredible. All right, so next song, have you seen Joel Santana? I don't know why he has two separate interludes.
Oh, yeah, that's just an interlude.
That's the other interlude.
Have you seen like, it was almost like this, like, it's an album and a murder mystery. Yes, and, like, Jewels is missing.
We're looking for Jewels.
They just remake the movie Clue with this.
It's the album.
Yeah.
A post 9/11.
Is that the board game too? Clue?
Yeah.
Clue.
Yeah,
that'd be great if it was all just New York rappers.
Yeah, and by the end of it.
You gotta find Santana by the end.
Yeah, yeah.
By the end of it, 50 Cent killed everybody.
and then next song, More Than Music. I like this one.
I liked More Than Music.
One. Yeah, this was a Joel solo.
I actually replayed that one. I felt proud of myself. I was like, oh, look, go back. Maybe because it was also just Joel Santana. And I've always been a fan of Joel Santana.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
He is my favorite.
He's really good. He was really good. That beat on that one was hard.
Yeah.
And then it's Coke Boy rap.
Yeah.
It's total dope boy.
Yeah.
And, but it was tight. I mean, that's New York. If you're not going to listen to New York Underground, you can listen to Guys on the Block.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yep.
That song was dope.
Yep. And then what's the next one? More Than Music. Beautiful Noise. That's Jim Jones and Cam'ron. I wasn't a big fan of this
song. I'm not a big fan of Jim, so I didn't really listen for Jim.
Really?
Yeah, I like Jim. I thought he went hard as fuck.
What'd you think of
Yo and
Me?
Oh, that was a great album.
You really like that album? Yeah, I could not fuck with it.
Wait, what?
Let's hang on a minute.
Okay. Please educate me.
When you have a song, Ballin'.
Stop! It was the worst fucking song
that
ever.
Song when that song comes on to this day, I'm like, oh fuck yeah.
I tried writing a bit about that, actually.
I want to enter that is an enter the room to that song.
Oh my god, but no,
if you're gonna enter the room to that song, though, you better be about to fucking do some great shit,
like rain or some shit. You better not just walk in and just staring at people.
The video was tight. That video was the last we saw of Dipset. Yeah. Like, as a force.
Together, actually getting along. Yeah. And
no, I tried writing a bit about that because I was listening, like, when I first discovered Dipset, I was listening to a lot of Tupac at the time.
Right.
And he has that song, Brenda's Got a Baby, and then he has that line, Baby in the Trash Heap Ballin', but I didn't understand, like, B-A-W-L-I-N.
Yeah.
So I was, like, thinking, like, the Jim Jones version.
She was crying. She was crying.
I was like,
that's a good joke.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't in
but
the trash
it's a lot of setup.
It's a lot of setup.
The joke's got a lot of setup.
It's a lot of setup, and it's not really worth it. But yeah.
So you guys weren't on board with that song?
Nah, really.
I wasn't feeling it.
It wasn't terrible.
It could have, but it just needed less.
Oh, dude,
gym.
The chorus is so good. What is wrong with you guys? Except the part where he says, "If you got a hoe, stroke it." I don't know what that means.
I'm not gonna lie. It was. If you got a hoe, stroke it.
If you got some weed, smoke it. If you got dice, roll it. And
okay,
all that.
I did like that.
Yeah, the chorus. Yeah. The chorus is awesome.
And maybe it's just the beat.
It's Jim.
Or Jim.
Beat. No, I think it's Jim.
Yeah, it's probably Jim.
Jim, it's not you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could skip to the next song.
Dipset. Oh.
Dipset Anthem.
Oh, man.
How are you going to skip the Dipset Anthem?
Yeah.
That song is so amazing.
It's so fucking good.
This song is
so
amazing.
It's so goddamn good.
You want to know what my note was for that one?
Please
what?
Give it to
Goat?
Us.
Goat?
No. It's better. Dipset Anthem greater than National Anthem.
Yes,
I would agree
100%.
Yes, yes.
And people would get mad at that, and then you'd be like, "Just listen."
No,
to the
listen to
anthem.
It. It's because it's been 15 years. You got to go back and listen to it. Go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, just come.
All right, nah, I gotta stop.
God,
oh
that
my
chorus.
God, it's so fucking good.
Watching how the gangsters do it. Yeah. Oh my god. Like that's a song I like to listen to on the couch.
Yes.
When I'm just like, fuck yeah. Like when my paycheck hits my account. Just like Dipset anthem.
What about like a walk up song? Would you
again, if you're gonna walk out to this, you can't fuck up. You can't fuck up.
That's the problem with this record, is like it's so bombastic and so confident.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? It would even be like a Dre album, like people would be like, oh yeah, I like that. Yeah. But like, you know.
This would be one like if you walked out and fucked up, you would get back to your like dressing room and Dipset would be there and they'd be like, you fucked up, and then you'd be like, how did you guys get here?
What are you guys doing here?
Like Dipset? That's it. That song is so
I'm gonna start playing it at midnight when my paycheck hit the account. Yeah. Like as soon as it hit. Look over at my boy. He's like, what the fuck is going on? It's Dipset, bitch. If you got weed, you better smoke it.
All right, next track, Hey Ma Remix.
Great remix.
It's a good remix. And the thing I like about this remix is that, I mean, now it's like more like, you know, independent SoundCloud, like DJs and shit, and producers. But like back in the day, you'd have a major label remix and it would sound like a fucking different song.
Yeah, yes. they went in the studio and everybody redid. It's a new beat. It's a new feature.
Yeah.
It's not as good as the first one, but that's fine.
No, but it's a whole different sound, which is.
And once again, like I Need a Girl Part 2, always going to be better than Part 1.
Yes.
Mm. Bad Boy was the best of that shit.
Bad Boy did. Because they would have remixes and then you would forget that there was a fucking original.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
It was like, wait, this is the part two?
Yeah. What was part one sound like? Yeah.
Part two?
And then we hit the era. This was right around the era where every remix had Busta Rhymes on it.
Yep.
There was a good 3-year run where Busta Rhymes did every fucking Get By, Annie Up, all of it. But no, this was a legit remix. And they didn't, it was kind of cool. They didn't press the remix as some sort of single. They just kind of let it.
It happened exist. On its own.
Yeah, and it was the perfect song to follow Dipset Anthem.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It was perfect. What's next?
Next is Hell Rel Interlude. I like how they always do interludes before. Interludes. Besides Joel's, he has to get two interludes. Yeah. But he has to get two interludes, eight other songs before his title
They
track.
Have to look for him.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole thing. But they found Joel's.
We got to find him first, and then.
It's going to take about 40 minutes.
That's why it's a double disc.
Yeah.
It's like, just record another song. We don't know where the fuck he is.
Guess we're just going to record and see where Jules is.
Dude, one of my favorite like studio stories. Have you ever heard of Chris Rock talking about recording with ODB?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like about how like they like Chris Rock was recording what album was it? Fuck. It's the gold one.
Bigger and Blacker. Or the ODB?
Yeah, it has an ODB interlude. Because Chris Rock used to do the cool shit.
Okay, the AKA. The name of that album is Please.
Nigga Please.
Nigga Please.
That's why when Nas named his album The N-Word and everybody's like, how could he do that? Someone's like, ODB did that like 8 years ago.
Yeah, but Chris Rock talks about like how they tried to get him to like record a specific thing. Like they wrote something for him. And they just couldn't get him to do it because he was just so fucked up.
Dirty is.
It just went with whatever he had.
You went to his last concert, right?
Yeah, his second to last. It was in Fort Collins. There's a story that they went to do a song with LL, ODB, and ODB pissed on one of his plaques and kicked him out of the studio. I don't know. I've heard it in the hip-hop mythos multiple times. Yeah, I still don't know if anybody's ever corroborated it.
Yeah.
It sounds very...
ODB.
No one has denied it or confirmed.
And Cool J's like cool enough to where he wouldn't come out now and be like, yeah, I kicked him
out
of the studio.
You know who fucking knows? Who? Quincy Jones.
Absolutely he knows. Because he's given up all the dirt.
Everything. Like he was going in on everybody. They'd be like, what do you think of astronauts? He's like, yeah, they're all gay.
they're all gay. Like,
dude,
I fucked every white woman in Hollywood from here to Italy.
He talked about dating Ivanka Trump.
He wouldn't want to date her long. He's like, but she did look good. So I was like, oh, God. Like, then he's like, the kids had to have an intervention with me.
Yeah, like 3 days later. Like 3 days later.
Yeah, his kids made him, they sat him down, was like, Pops, again, we cannot deny nor confirm these allegations, but you have to be quiet.
He popped shit about everybody.
Yeah. And it was crazy because no one went against it. No one went, he's lying. Not one person said he was lying.
Well, with the Richard Pryor stuff, his wife was like, oh, yeah.
Well, that was kind of out there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, everyone knew that about Richard Pryor. Yeah. That he was pretty...
Yeah,
he's
like
pretty loose, out there guy. Yeah,
with his sexuality, but like no.
I mean, Eartha Kitt talked about it a lot too. About yeah,
Eartha
all the
Kitt, God, Catwoman.
Yeah, I love her.
She's outstanding as Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, God, but no one knew he was fucking Marlon Brando.
Who wasn't fucking Marlon Brando though? Back
that
then?
Is true. Yeah,
Marlon Brando used to talk about it in interviews.
He was
about
Richard Pryor. In his old age. Yeah,
fucking dude. I don't think they alleged Brando fucked Pryor in the interview.
Yeah,
Brando used to talk about fucking dudes.
Yeah,
he was definitely. No,
because when
that.
You get old, you can't filter yourself anymore.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, yeah.
No, read that interview again. There's a specific section.
They do reference.
They talk about
they
going
reference
to,
him. Yeah,
going to like discos and shit.
That's
like
all
discotheques,
right, man.
And then yeah, no, it's 100%.
I love the God.
I love it.
The Godfather and Richard Pryor. Those are great. Why not fuck? Those
I
are
live
great
for it. I'm living for it.
Yeah,
can we get a VHS?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all I'm asking.
They release it on
unfortunately,
VHS.
Unfortunately, they can't make more greatness together like that.
No,
which is sad.
What do we? What song are we on?
We are on. This is what I do.
This is what I do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah so this is gonna be Cameron. Hellrell.
Back to the girl voice loop. Hellrell's voice is so good.
You know, Hellrell's verse remind me of
what?
This is a really obscure Jay-Z song, but it reminds me of that song on the Dynasty called 1-900 Hustler.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Where it's just like the phone call at the beginning. He's like, "Yo, I just moved to Brooklyn. How do I sell crack?" And then the whole song just showing like just Jay-Z being like, "Yeah.
So this is how you do it."
Yeah. Yeah, this is how you do it. Yeah. And his verse reminded me of that. I quoted one thing. I have very few quotes, but one was a shorty thought I had plans of spousing her. I just wanted to have sex with a couch with her, on the couch with her, do it in the mouth with her, give her a few bricks, make her take him down south with her. Which I'm like, respect. At least you're honest.
Sorry, my brother's trying to reserve a table for the show tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, right.
No, Lee. What's the lyrics about the couch again?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and once again, if you say anything, let me know. I can cut anything out. Shorty thought I had plans of spousing her. I just wanted to have sex on the couch with her, do it in the mouth with her, give her a few bricks, make her take them down south with her.
All right, well.
This is back when like you could just talk so much shit about women
yeah.
on a song
yeah,
and
yeah.
nobody confronted you about
yep.
it.
What do you mean talking shit about women? That's just business 101 there. That she's joining the payroll. Now, here is it's like Mary Kay. It
yeah,
sounds
yeah.
like the street hustling of Mary Kay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
They are hustlers.
Here's what you need to go sell.
Here's what you need to go sell. Now
yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
do we? What's
the next song? Gangsta. The only thing I said on there, I don't like this beat.
I would have. This is the one song that legit didn't need to be on.
Yeah.
There just wasn't anything to it.
And it's not like I would question...
The beat was bad.
The beat was bad, and it's not like I would question their like authenticity if
yeah,
they didn't
no.
have a song named Gangsta. I'd be like, I get what you guys
yeah,
are trying
like,
to do
if
here.
They rolled by, I wouldn't be like, look at these wannabes. I'd be like, I'd be like, fucking behave.
Yeah, yeah.
Dipset is here.
Yeah, fucking dope. Next track, Hellrell Freestyle.
That's the prison thing.
Yeah, prison
that's
thing.
The prison
last
thing,
track
yeah.
on the first disc.
Yeah.
That's just like, let's be, before we get to the second disc, let's be real as fuck.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like, yeah, fuck yeah. it. We're just going to go balls to the wall on this last one.
And then the first track on disc two, I really mean it.
Just Blaze kills that
just
beat.
Just Blaze kills that beat. Fucking who's on it? It's Blaze, Cameron, Jim Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, have you ever seen that YouTube video? It's called Worst Rap Battle Ever.
Yes.
Oh, that you sent me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I feel bad, but the kid who's like, you know, a little uh-huh. mentally challenged, he drops some of the funniest lines. I didn't even quote the actual song. I just quoted what he said in that rap
oh,
battle.
Okay.
He says, like, you look like Rosie O'Donnell in a bisexual bridal shower.
For the record, this is not the Dipset song.
No, no,
this
no.
This is
not
the
no,
Dipset
not.
Song.
No,
no. I will put
no,
the link
this
to this video. I will put a link to this verse.
He's mentally handicapped?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We can't mock him.
No, no, no. No, I'm saying he's great.
Oh, okay.
Those
okay.
lines are the funniest shit.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, they're funny.
Yeah.
He's saying he's dropping some gems.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
he's
good.
Like, it's true. No wonder he came out. He already in the gay parade. Like, it's
yeah,
just,
that was good.
That's actually a really good one.
Yeah,
like,
really
no wonder
good.
He came out. He already in the gay parade.
He had bars, that kid.
That kid had some fucking bars, bro.
Back then, though, because this is a Rockefeller, mm-hmm. Just Blaze was like... their like on retainer producer.
Yeah.
This beat is so Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That early to mid 2000s. Mm. That song's so great. I love that song.
That chipmunk sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next song, My Love. I wish they would have used Freeway on a different song.
Yeah.
If they were gonna have Freeway feature.
Yeah.
This song they're trying to like show that they're sensitive towards women, and I don't think they realize they're being
insanely really misogynist. Yeah. Well, it's the thing.
I thought they were going for the opposite. I thought that was the irony of the song.
Oh.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
I thought that. Oh God.
I hope it's the irony of the song. I hope that's not how they think. So maybe they made it sound like this, but then the low key.
I thought they were like, it's a, you know, we're going a little soft and nice for the ladies, but we'll, you know, call them bitches, hoes, and I'll smack her a couple times. It's okay, you know? So it was like,
fuck.
I was like, I think it's the irony. I think they're going for irony.
There's sarcasm.
It's sarcasm. It's like, we're just going to be funny about it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Freeway. I don't know if you guys ever heard Freeway's first solo album. There's a single with Jay-Z and Beanie Siegel that's fantastic.
Oh my God.
And it's kind of a forgotten song. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking, it's a, Just Blaze, I think, did it.
Yeah.
I would recommend that to everybody.
Yep. Yeah.
The next song.
I Love You.
They shout out, speaking of The Godfather, they talk about Luca Brasi on here.
Yep.
That's a character in The Godfather who gets killed like 10 minutes into the first Godfather. Why would you want that name?
What's his name? Kevin Yates. He has an album named that.
Luca Brasi has like two lines and his hand gets stabbed. Spoiler. You haven't seen the 40-year-old movie.
I actually have not seen The Godfather. Like, I have, guys,
it's very old.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, you know what's the worst part?
I know.
I've had the DVD box set for 12 years.
And you never listened.
And I've never.
I'm so scared because it's like 9 hours of my life.
Goodfellas is.
Well, it's just because for me, it's been people have been joking about it for so long that I feel like if I watch it now, it's going to be a waste. It's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
Goodfellas is infinitely better.
Goodfellas is real.
The Godfather's more like a very well-written. It could almost be like a Greek tragedy.
Yeah, like it's a play like, or
it's
something
like that.
Yeah.
It's not like this. Like, if you've seen Goodfellas, you're going to watch a Godfather thinking you're about to get some gangster shit.
Yeah.
It's not really like that.
It's not gangster.
It's gangster, but in
but
a
in
very.
A different way.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they talk very, like, philosophical.
Mm.
And it's. This is going to get me in trouble. Jesus Christ, it's a snooze fest.
I knew it. I didn't want to be the one to say it, but that's why I haven't watched it. And I'm just it don't look like there's enough like mafia gangster shit in it for me. It just looks like a lot of old Italian men like,
it is so
you disrespect my household.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's so boring. It's so boring.
So there is one lyric on here.
What is it?
There's, you know, the Muhammad Ali line.
Yeah.
So here's the actual original lyric that was on the original song, but he had to change it because you were talking about Joel. You were just talking about 9/11 type shit.
Yeah.
So the original lyric was, "I worship the late prophet, the great Muhammad Amir Atta, for his courage behind the wheel of the plane. Reminds me when I was dealing cane." And then he had to change that lyric.
That was
a lyric
they wrote?
Oh, my God. Was that?
Yeah. He got in trouble for it. Yeah.
He should have.
Yeah.
He got in a lot of trouble.
What the fuck?
Because the justification for this... And I'm stealing this from Rap Genius.
Did Juelz said this? It was a Juelz line?
It was a Juelz line. And then it's the only annotated line on the whole song.
Okay.
And he was saying, like, endorse, I guess,
the
actions.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I was just, he's like, I'm just talking about, like, the courage that he had to do that. I'm like, dude, that's fucked up.
No way around it. We don't really discuss those kind of courage.
No way around it. And I like that song until you said that. At one point he says, I'm like, Rodman, boy, there's a line that didn't age well.
I still fuck with Dennis Rodman. Yeah. I don't give a shit. Did you see him on David Letterman?
Did you see him tweet the picture of Kim Jong-un in a Make America Great Again hat? And he's like, I'm going to bring my two friends together.
I'm going to bring my two good friends together.
I did not see
him.
Oh, my God.
Because he's best friends with the guy, apparently.
Yeah, but he was on Letterman, the Letterman Netflix show?
No, not Letterman. I'm sorry. Colbert. He was on Colbert. But the Colbert replaced Letterman.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was on Colbert, and he was wearing... a shirt. I forgot the company, but it was a pot leaf in the middle, and then it was Donald Trump with an American flag behind him and Kim Jong-un with a North Korean flag behind him.
How did Dennis Rodman end up in the middle of all of this shit? Anyways.
Because apparently that Kim guy's a big fan of his.
He loves basketball.
Well, yeah, since he was a kid, he was a big fan of his.
That's my favorite team, too.
The Bulls.
Yeah, the 95-98 Bulls.
Yeah.
So
there's a store in Cherry Creek Mall that has the black Rodman jersey, authentic, and I wanted it because it's tight as fuck, and I was a Dennis Rodman fan, but I'm like, I can't.
You have to hang that up at home. You just don't wear.
People are
going to
be like, well, do you like North Korea or Donald Trump? Like, what do you, I mean, that's the choices there. And we're not here to hate. Shout out to the Republicans.
Shout out to the Republicans. So. And the North Koreans.
If you, somehow, I'm amazed. If this got through, if you were able to stream this,
I'm amazed.
And hang in there.
All right, next track, Purple Haze, Slowest Jam. This one has Cameron.
Cameron's solo.
I actually really,
solo.
Yeah.
It's great.
Really
this is one of the best ones on
his album, right?
Purple Haze was the next album.
The next album, yeah. He went from pink to purple.
Yeah. He mentions...
He was still wearing pink, though.
Yeah.
And to tie him back to Quincy Jones, he brags that Ivanka Trump wants him in this song. So,
how old was she at that time?
She had to be like 18. She's like 30 something.
Probably inappropriate for him to be.
That's what I'm saying. It was 15 years ago. She seems like she's like, what, early 30s?
Yeah. I think she's older than me. I'm 48. So she's. I'm not 48, listeners.
You're 72.
I was about to say, ooh, you look good.
Yeah. What is your secret? You look 34.
You better tell him.
He does say, I think he also says in that song that he'll call women skanks and cunts. I don't know why this is something that he.
I guess he just wanted y'all to know, in case you were wondering, you're all skanks and cunts.
Yeah, and then she's like, why you call me that? He's like, somebody didn't listen to Purple Haze.
Oh my God.
Yeah, not much I have to say here. Is it just like
it's a good song, but it's, I mean, Cam doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. I mean, low key,
no,
he doesn't give a fuck.
Uh-huh.
And next song, the first, Bone Thugs.
Yeah, so this is where I'm talking about, where they do that Bone Thugs worship. But then they don't have that technical ability to.
No, they do not
to
actually develop. Yeah.
So they just say the lyrics. It's like if I were to come on a song.
And allow it to do it. First of the only one guy's ever been able to match Bone.
Yeah.
And that was Big.
Yeah.
Big was the only dude that was able to rock
with. I mean,
Ferg
his own. On his track.
Did he?
I
guess he did.
With a bougie nigga.
But this is them referencing Bone, and then we see Master P later. That ASAP is kind of a dot, because Bone and Master P were kind of in the background at this point. Mm-hmm. And Dipset was like, no.
Let's bring him back up.
And ASAP has kind of adopted that. Like, let's go get some old legends
and bring them back
and put them to the front, which is kind of dope.
I really like this song. Ferg had Cameron on his last album.
Yeah, brings it full circle. I like this song a lot.
Which I love that, because once again, I was talking about like ASAP, they're like super southern.
Yeah.
Like everything's like all UGK and type that type of shit. So, I mean, what's his name? Ferg, he's more Midwest.
Yeah.
East Coast.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool. I mean, he had a single with DJ Premier that just came out.
Yeah.
Like a few months ago.
And he had Bone on his, he actually had Bone.
Yeah.
On his first album. And Onyx and Cypress Hill.
Those two songs are so fucking good.
They're so good.
Yeah.
It's because Be Real and Sticky, all of them can roll in and just rap.
Yeah.
Because they came from an era where you had to do that.
Yeah.
Not to be a hater. Not to be a hater. But.
I am.
Not to be an old man.
Not to be an old.
He's an old man.
You're speaking facts. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. Thank you.
You're speaking facts. Not to say that there's anything wrong with the music of today. It's just, it's different.
It's different.
It's just different. That's all.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, Nalawi love it. But can't hate on it.
Can't hate.
Because Nalawi's made me not hate it. He's been very good about that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, every era has their bullshit.
Yeah, they do. There was snap rap.
Snap rap, ringtone rap was going on at the same time. I would rather listen to 21 Savage over any of those.
I probably would.
If I had to hear Laffy Taffy, another fucking, you know what I mean?
Laffy. That, what? Talk about a walkout song.
You better. Mr. Chico's name?
What? No, I'm saying D4L. Yeah.
I know, yeah.
If I have to listen to any, or DJ Unk.
I'm walking out to my next thing. To Laffy Taffy
tonight,
yeah.
West Facts.
The next song is titled Juel Santana.
They found him.
I don't know if you guys are looking for him, but we found him.
Juel
we
Santana.
We found Juel Santana.
You know, it's kind of appropriate. I mean, this might be because we're recording this. Good Friday was yesterday.
Yeah.
And then Easter's tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like.
This resurrection for him.
Yeah.
We found him.
Oh, okay. Shout out to the Christians that listen to this.
We're giving a little bit to everybody.
Shout out to God.
Yes.
Shout out to Jesus.
Shout out to Jesus.
Well, you're talking about like they pull back old shit. They're like, yo, let's get the
New
Testament.
Fuck it. We just gonna go and pull.
They would be the crew to do it. Be like, who you get on your album? Fucking God. We just rolled in and said, hey, you're doing this. He was like, all right.
Now, is he going to have to call from heaven and we have to wrap the phone?
But heaven is going to sound real good.
It's going to sound crystal clear.
Yeah, they're like, can you call from heaven? He's like, just so you know, it doesn't sound like jail up here, motherfucker. Sounds pretty goddamn good. Yeah.
They won't tell the difference.
Yeah, this song, good track, talking shit.
Yeah, yeah, Jules, braggadocious. Yeah,
yeah.
Next, everything he touches was fire. So.
Yep, DJ Enough Freestyle. I love this one.
It's great.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's great.
I love that beat.
It's the beat's good, and I there's no chorus. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like at the end of the Chronic when they had Stranded on Death Row.
Yep.
Where everybody that you heard just comes
much spit.
In.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they pretty really much dope. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's only Cameron Jewels and Jim Jones. Oh, yeah, this is another question I had. Is this, because we were talking about Migos, their last album.
Yeah.
And we were all amazed how much crack they cook on this album.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fucking crack. Whip it on that album.
Who cooks more crack, Migos or Dipset?
Migos.
You think Migos?
And here's why. Dipset is hustling everywhere.
Mm.
So they've diversified enough to where the crack's probably self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And they don't need to be focusing. Migos is trapping.
Yeah. They're currently trapping. Okay, trap houses everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not that either of them are one's particularly better or worse at the crack.
Yeah.
It's just different approaches.
Okay. Yeah. I feel that. stupid.
Next song, What's Really Good? What a waste of a feature.
DMX?
Yeah.
You know, because you were talking about like these beats, how they're repetitive
yeah.
as far as like they get like a old 60, yeah. 70 song, they speed that shit up and then they like rap around a
right.
specific phrase. Mm-hmm. This one, they were like, we're going to make that same shit, but instead of a woman, we're going to have DMX screaming.
We're going to just put DMX screaming in the goddamn background.
What's really good?
Yeah.
Do you think they're like, we only need you to say it once, X? And he's like, I'm going to say it every time you fucking need me.
Like, we just need you to say it once. We'll just play it back. No!
You think that he was in the studio, like, right next to him?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, one microphone?
Absolutely.
They're getting uncomfortable. Like, all right, man.
He was really close. Even when he didn't need to scream, you can tell he was just like,
all right, X,
just
can
waiting.
You stop shoving him out of the way, please? Because you're only
stupid.
X, you're being a little violent in there.
Yeah, no verse. Yeah, that's why I said no verse from DMX. Used him like a sample.
There was no damn verse at all. And I'm pretty sure they wanted him to have a verse.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he probably came in so damn hype and just ready to just... all in the background, and they were like, man, you know what, fuck it, let's just lay down the fucking tracks, let's just get this over with,
because
he breathing on my neck and it's really uncomfortable.
We don't want to give him a verse, he'll never
fuck
get out of here.
We'll never leave if we give him a verse. He probably didn't even know he was recording that day. There was a free crack giveaway.
Somebody came to the studio, they're like, DMX is here and he won't fucking leave.
He won't fucking leave.
We'll give him something.
We'll give him something.
Just get rid of the girl voice. He's yelling, what's really good. We'll just put it in.
He's yelling.
Next song, I actually have no notes. I'm ready.
It's fine.
Because the next song. Yeah. So we have a recurring theme on this podcast.
Yes.
We call it the list of greatest songs of all time.
Okay.
So far we have Kanye Flashing Lights, we have Kanye West Power. What else do we have?
T.I. What You Know.
T.I. What You Know.
Game 50 Cent.
How We Do.
And now.
We have Bout It Part 3.
Bout It Part 3.
Not Part 1. Even though it's using the exact same beat.
Yeah. Not Part 2.
Not Part 2.
Part 3.
Part 3.
Yeah. The Diplomats featuring Master P.
Yeah.
The legend,
Master P,
who doesn't get credit for all the shit he did.
And
he is
really
a fucking
should.
Legend.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't. He had great
really
records. Ice Cream Man was a great record.
Yep.
Ghetto D was a great record.
Yep.
He had, and he did a lot of.
He had cell phone deals.
Also a smart businessman.
Very smart businessman.
Also raised his children to be smart business people. He made every single one of his children get a job and buy their first cars. Because his quote was, this is my money, not y'all's.
Ah, that's so
Master
good.
P's a man.
I mean, but he did give him a TV show.
Of course. You know, they had to pay for it some way. It ain't like you're going to see little Romeo working at McDonald's.
Work wouldn't get done.
You can't have Master P skip working at fucking McDonald's.
But at least, how long did Romeo, he was at UCLA for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played basketball.
He played basketball.
But how long was he there for?
I don't know.
He graduated, I believe.
Was it USC or UCLA? Boy, this doesn't matter.
Damn, this doesn't matter. But Bout It Part 3 makes
the list. That's a new name of this podcast.
It doesn't matter.
Damn, this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But Bout It Part 3, holy fuck. It was a Southern song
yep.
with a West Coast beat.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
and the New Yorkers
on that
show. Yeah.
It's all of it. Yep. It's all hip hop. Yep. And there's one fucking song.
And it doesn't, and the thing I love about this song is that it doesn't fit this album at all.
No.
At all.
There's no reason for it to be on there.
No.
No.
And they made us wait. They made us wait like 25 songs. And they're like,
for
all
right. For this, yeah. We had to listen through so much ups and downs to get to this one treasure.
Yeah.
They were like, here you go. They're like, we gave you, like, they should have just retired out of this. Like, we gave you Dipset Anthem, and we gave you Bout About a Part 3. We don't know you motherfuckers shit.
That should have been it.
Do you think if it was just those two songs, that'd be the greatest album of all time?
Yes. This is the greatest album of all time because of those two songs.
No, but I'm saying like, well, not,
they
we
just
have a
diplomatic
lot of
immunity. Those two songs.
Just those, yeah. Just those two, like track one, track
honestly,
two, and that's it.
On the ride here, I literally because I have a like 20 minute drive. Mm-hmm. I just put this on loop the whole time.
I listen. I have a big playlist of rap songs. They're both, and like I'll get impatient and I'll be like, oh fuck.
He's
Bout About a Part 3.
Bout About
it. Fuck this. Yo, I love you, Mac 10, but I got to get the fucking.
I got to get to that Bout About
it. Oh, God, that song's so good. Everybody go listen to that. It rounds out. It's the fifth song in the list of greatest songs
of all time.
Of all time.
Yep.
That's great. These last two songs.
When do we want to make that a real playlist? Should I just do that now?
Just start getting it together.
Just add it together.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
These last two songs, I'd like to clump together because they don't directly all out sample the whole album, and then the last two songs are just straight samples.
I mean, that's the problem with Let's Go.
Yeah.
Because it's Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. Yeah. And then, like, Cameron's like, yeah, let's get it on, nigga. And then he's talking about killing people.
I think they put these two last on the album for people like me who were, like, kind of at that done point with listening to Dipset. And they were like, you know what? If anybody is still fucking listening, fuck it. Let's just throw some out there.
Yeah, and it's actually the last three songs if you count Bout About It.
Yeah.
Well, Bout About It was. Oh, they should have been higher up, too. Though. Bout About It should have been higher up on that list of songs, though.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people stopped listening, after certain points. So it was like, Bout About It Part 3 was missed.
I think they should have ended it.
Bout About It.
Yeah. Made that the last song.
That
would have
been fine.
Send them home.
That would have been fine,
too. Fucking home run.
Because when I was listening to this album, like, again, because I heard it, like, 5-6 years ago and then listening to it again, I'm going to be completely honest. I literally stopped at I'm Ready.
Okay.
And then, yesterday morning, I was like, all right, I got to finish this fucking thing. And then Bout About It came on. And I was like, how
I told
fuck?
You. I had told you beforehand. I'm like, Bout About It is so fucking dope.
I was like, how the fuck?
That's
all these years, you have not been listening to Bout About It Part 3.
No.
Yeah. See what I told?
Yeah.
They stopped listening. Right. And all I feel like years. Bout About It should have just been higher up on the fucking, on the track list.
But that's, it should have been. This record was great. This was a fun one to review.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm really happy. What's,
this took me back.
Any promos?
Token, May 12th.
May 12th at the Comedy Room Room.
At the Comedy Room
Room. Who do you have on that?
I don't have a final lineup, so I'm not going to say just yet.
Your podcast again, promo
awesome.
It.
My podcast is Comfortably Excluded. Definitely listen to that, you guys. Check it out. Yeah. You can listen to it on all your podcast providers except Spotify because they say we're not good enough yet. Bastards.
They also don't have the Chronic. So
fuck them.
and they don't have this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but you can also check it out on our website as well, comfortablyexcluded.com. I am the host, Monty Taj. So, listen to it. And hopefully
I called
you guys,
Monty Hill earlier. Is that right?
Because that's
your
government.
Facebook.
Yeah, that was my government.
Oh, okay.
It's all good.
I
go
that
by
out.
That too. Just,
we now give out social security numbers of guests.
Her social Credit security card. Number is we got her PIN number. She's banking with.
Yeah. Here's where she lives. And this is where her mama stay.
So anything else?
Anything else?
No.
This was good. This was a really fun episode. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thank
you
guys so much for having me.
We're going to have you
awesome.
Back.
Yeah.
We're going to have you back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dipset.